You're listening to the Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Well, hey, you guys, we're so glad to be back today on the Family Podcast. And today we have a special couple joining us, Kevin and Jennifer Gordon, and my wonderful husband, Brian.
It's good to be here. Good to be a part of this conversation. Kevin and Jenna, can't wait for your story to get out there. It's awesome.
Yeah. And just to start, I mean, one of the reasons why we have them on this podcast is because they have some exciting news. What do you have to share today?
I am pregnant.
Wow. That's amazing.
16 weeks today pregnant.
16 weeks. Yep. Very exciting. Well, you guys might be wondering, okay, that's cool. I mean, people get pregnant, right? We love that. We love life. But what makes their story super interesting is this next question I'm going to ask. Jen, how old are you?
52.
52. Right. People might be like, wait, yeah. What?
So my question is, have you lost your minds?
Yes, we think we have lost our minds. We look at each other and we're like, are we really doing this?
This is really happening.
Is God having us go this route?
Yes.
And the answer is yes.
And we saw an ultrasound this morning and she was waving, so we know.
So it's a little girl happening.
Yeah,
baby girl.
Well, what's going to be fun today is, I think, for you guys just to share a journey that you guys have been on over 20 years. And what I think will be good for our audience to hear is just how we're going to go back to the very beginning of your story as a young couple, but just what God's shown you through the years and what's brought you to this place to be 52 years old and pregnant. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to get into this. So let's go all the way back to the early years of Kevin and Jen thinking about starting a family. And why don't you just kind of share that part of the journey?
Yeah, I think dating, we had always kind of talked about, envisioned 2 to 3 kids. You know, wait a few years, start having kids, it'll be no problem. Mm-hmm. And then 2 to 3, okay, God, we're good. And
that was the plan.
Yeah, that was the plan. And so 3 to 4 years after we were married, we're like, okay, we're going to start having kids. But then nothing. And month after month of nothing. And
how many years did you try?
Yeah, total from trying of nothingness was...
Well, you know what? We did get pregnant in 2000.
Yeah.
So...
We'd been married 3 years at that point. So that's right. Yeah. So 3 years in, we're going to try, got pregnant, but then we had a miscarriage.
Okay.
Very early on.
6 weeks in, had a miscarriage.
But we were like, well, we know what we're doing. This happens. Mm-hmm. That stunk, but here we go. We're going to get it the next time.
And I guess that's a better way to say than after that was the nothing, and kept trying.
True, yeah.
And then we said, okay, we need to go see a doctor and get some help.
We need to say that we were married. Because I think we went from, we were engaged and talking, we got married in 1997.
Fair enough.
Yeah. This is a Christian podcast. That was good. Thank you.
Keep it honest.
Jim. And I guess because it's a Christian podcast, did you know how babies are made? We need to go over that.
Maybe that's why we weren't getting
married. Needed some education.
So how many years was it from being married in 1997 to, I mean, I know there was one miscarriage in there, but how many years before you started thinking about other options?
Okay, good question.
Yeah, it was like 4 to 5, because I remember we got pregnant while we were in Italy, and then we got back to the States.
That's when the miscarriage happened. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got back to the States in 2003.
Yeah, so it was about 6-ish years.
Okay.
Yep, 6 years. And then when we got back to the States, we're like, okay, we're going to go see some doctors and see what we can do
here. Yeah, because we didn't know anything about fertility treatment. All we knew is everybody we knew were having babies.
Yeah.
I was at a post office on base in Italy one Christmas, and I had made a list. This is how I had where my brain was. I had a list of everybody we knew that had a kid.
Wow.
And there was one couple that was like, oh, they don't have a baby either. Got the Chris. I'm sitting in the car after getting the mail, open up a Christmas card, and they announced they were pregnant. I thought,
so you were
the last ones standing. Yes. Yeah. But, and everybody at that point started saying, you need to look into fertility treatment. We didn't know really what that even meant, but I thought, no.
Yeah.
Mary got pregnant. Yeah. God did that. And if that's what he, you know, whatever ways, I am leaving this up to the Lord. That's just where we were.
In early 2000s, that was still fairly new. Like, you probably didn't know much about it.
Yeah.
We didn't know much about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because unfortunately in today's world, like, my daughter most of her friends are having a hard time getting pregnant, and yeah. most of them are doing other options. Yeah. So it's yeah. just interesting how over time, yes. in your time, that was maybe like yeah. IVF was a new science.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. We didn't even know of it at this point. We just knew there were some ways that they would help. And I thought, no, that's playing God. We're not going there.
We tried the artificial insemination three or four rounds. And that was nothing worked, nothing successful. And a doctor had told us, hey, you guys are probably going to have to do in vitro. And we looked at each other like, well, what's in vitro? That? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you mean? Yeah. What is this? So looked into it a little bit and then got connected with a doctor that was in the Air Force about to get out through a couple that we knew that had used him. And said, go see this doctor for a couple of reasons, because wait time for that time for in vitro was for a civilian doctor was over a year.
Wow.
And the cost was pretty significant. Mm-hmm. And then this doctor that was going to be getting out and starting his own practice was going to be, hey, you can come start seeing me in weeks, not months, and for a fraction of the cost. And that's something we had prayed about is God, you know, we're in your hands. Show us, open up doors, close doors. And this was a huge open door because up to this point, we were getting discouraged of the wait time like I just described. Like, it's going to be years. It's going to be a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the door opened of, you got this doctor that's going to see you in weeks and for a fraction of the cost.
Okay.
And we're like, okay, God, I think you're opening this door for us to go do this. Yes. And that's how we kind of got...
down that path.
Yeah, down the path of in vitro. Yeah.
However, we still didn't know much about it. Yeah. And I thought, well, that's great. And I feel like that's a yes, but what is this?
Yeah.
It's, I had said before there was that sheep named Dolly that they cloned a sheep. Yes. Do you guys remember that?
I do remember that. Yeah.
And to me, that's all I could think of as I think that's what they did. That's what in vitro does. They clone or they do something, but that's not natural. And that is taking away the job of God, the creator. So we weren't really sure. And I don't think we even thought to ask people. We just thought, I don't know. So then...
could you even Google it?
No.
Google around?
No. I don't think Google was even...
We had a computer, but...
Our young people are going, why don't you just Google it?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're 52 now, people. Back then, we didn't... Yeah.
So there was a lady at our church. We were living... Now we're stationed in Phoenix, Arizona. And we'd been there, I don't know, a year or so, and we knew names, and somebody had said, hey, Marcia Malicote is this amazing godly lady. You need to just get in touch with her and talk through some things and have her pray with you. So I just went right up to her and I said, hi, here's our situation. We don't really know much about this procedure. We're struggling. And mind you, we had baby fever like nobody's business, because we're like at 4 years now. Like, what we had already obviously felt like the Lord said, okay, that's why we had done the artificial inseminations. Mm-hmm. And when that doctor said it didn't work, you need to do in vitro. So I went up and introduced myself, and just without hesitation, she said, well, let me just tell you that God is the only one that can breathe life. Mm-hmm. So if it's in a petri dish and he does that, that is still him. That is not taking away his job. And right then we were like, boom, we're doing this.
Ready to go.
We're so doing this.
Okay, now I need to be reminded, because you guys have a YouTube channel that you told this whole story, which is how we got connected through mutual friends.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Listen to your story that you, as you were telling it, and we're like, we need these guys to come on this podcast. I want to make sure, okay, so where does your journey of the option of adoption fit into this part of the timing of in vitro? Okay.
Okay, so for all those few years, we were in Italy for 3 years, and that's when we were like, man, we can't do this. All of our friends, you know, you want to offer support to someone who's hurting, and you can pray with them, and still nothing's happening. So people would rightly say, well, you can always adopt. Mm-hmm. And... I guess we knew that was an option.
Yeah, I'd say we had a heart, because I remember in Korea we went to that that foster home or organization.
It was an orphanage.
Yeah, that's right. It was an orphanage, but we went and spent time with them. And even then, we had a heart for, and we even looked at each other, I remember, and said, "Hey, one day I think we're gonna adopt one day."
But that went way back burner. But,
okay,
because then it was like, okay,
that was not a plan A.
We want
to
get pregnant
later.
Yes. So as friends would say, well, you can still be parents. You just adopt. And at that time, I wanted to punch them. In mm-hmm. my mind, I was mm-hmm. doing a little throat punch. Like, you are pregnant telling me this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have babies mm-hmm. that look like you at your feet, you know? And I thought, yeah. I understand that you're trying to help me, and I understand that is true, but you don't know what this feeling is of being a woman and not being able to do what God has designed our bodies to do as women. So I would just say, okay, well, thank you. And maybe one day we will, mm-hmm. but I want my own baby. That was my term. Yeah. And I hate that I use those words now.
Yeah.
Because we did fast forward a little bit. We did end up adopting our beautiful daughter from China. Sorry. And she is our own baby. So those words that I used back then was complete ignorance. Mm. And it was before God changed my heart.
And it really switched to adoption, to kind of get back to your question, Tracy, was while we were in Phoenix one night, Jenna calls you and says, come over, I want you to watch a video with me.
They were also struggling as a
couple. Yeah, they were struggling to have children. Mark and I were flying that night. You go over to her house. Kind of reluctantly at first, because you thought, this isn't what I want. Right. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, well, I need to support Jenna. So she goes over there, watches this video, and your heart was changed.
Within 5 minutes, God said, this is for you.
Yeah. Mm.
This is what I think is cool about your story, is how God's moving in your hearts and kind of changing. Like, that's even interesting that you would say you guys went to an orphanage and saw like the need for people to adopt, but that that burning desire, like you said, of having your own child from your own body was like this, yes, God, but then all of a sudden a video like is a timely thing that totally changes your heart.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yep.
So you go to China.
Yes. Yes.
And adopt your daughter.
Yes. Yep. But we have to back up from before we went to China. We had also, this is now we, you know, we are walking years, what we call in our desert time, not hearing anything. I mean, the door did open for in vitro, but it was just a very lonely desert, which we are thankful for now. We would not be where we are spiritually had we not walked through that desert. Okay. There was growth. I didn't see it then. It was at the end. I was like, yes, Lord. Anyway, so all of a sudden we went from nothing, nothing. And then we had these two options of having babies. You can go get your baby from China, which we were both on board 1,000%, and you can do in vitro at the same time. We're like, we've gone from nothing to now, which do we do? Which comes first?
And you left it. You said, Kevin, you're the spiritual leader. You make the call. We prayed about it. Mm-hmm. And then we decided, since we were in close proximity to the in vitro doctor, we're like, hey, I think God is, he had opened up the doors for the in vitro. Let's go try the in vitro
first.
First, yeah. So we did, started the in vitro, got a batch of embryos, put two in, and nothing happened. Yeah, no pregnancy.
How many embryos did you guys at that
first? Yeah, so we had 12 embryos.
Okay.
More eggs than that, but the fertilized eggs that took and made an embryo was 12. So they put two in, and then didn't work, no pregnancy there at all.
And the first time I didn't cry that I found out I was not pregnant, but the first time in years I did not cry, because we knew this doesn't work.
We're going to China.
We're going to be parents.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, now this is a question I have. How are you allowed to say how many eggs you want to be pulled out of you at the time you're doing it, or they just take what they can?
I think learning a little bit more about it now, they want success. It's a business. Mm-hmm. And they're going to pump you and get as many. And I do believe there's a little bit of, we want to help this patient because you're spending a lot of money. So let's try, let's just pump you as much as we can.
Get they want to increase their odds of success.
Yes, for them and for their families.
Yes.
Yeah. So my body just happened to react very well to the medicine. They pulled, they harvested 22 eggs.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. And then they did a procedure called ICSI. And that's where they took my eggs, because his sperm, we learned it through this time, was the problem.
So
then they put his sperm in each, and that's where 12.
So you had 12
embryos at this point. Yes.
Okay. And that was the only in vitro treatment you did.
Yes.
So you now have these 12.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. So then you also have China in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
So the first two don't take.
Right. Which was, the doctor was, couldn't believe it. Like those were they grade them. Like, this is a automatic.
You're getting pregnant. He was like, oh yeah, for sure.
Which is the beautiful part of the story.
Wow. Yes. Yeah.
Because God said, I don't care what that doctor or science says.
So they didn't work. They froze during the freezing process. One embryo had an issue, so it didn't survive. So they froze 9. So we go back to Phoenix. And before we had done that in vitro, after seeing that video with Jenna, she had said, Kevin, if in vitro doesn't work, at least promise me we'll go adopt. And I said, absolutely.
Okay.
So now we get back and she's looking at me kind of like, oh, wait, are we going to go adopt? And we had, this is another good God moment. We were the next day getting ready to start medication.
But you need to say why we didn't go right then, because the two didn't work. Yeah. So I thought we're going to China, but he said, you know what? Wait a minute. Let's try this one more time. Then okay. We're going no matter what, but your body's right. Like, because there's so much calendar stuff to in vitro. He said, let's give it one more shot. We'll put in two more. After that, we are going to China then.
Okay.
So the night before she's supposed to start medication, I'm flying. She gets a call from our mutual friend, Brian Vaughn. Mm-hmm. And he basically says, I don't know what this means, because it was late at night, if I remember right. It was like 10, 11 o'clock at night to us. He says, I don't know what this means. He goes, I was in my quiet time with God. Mm. He goes, and I've been wrestling with God because he has urging me to give you a call. I didn't want to do it. He was basically telling God, I don't want to call them at this time of night. He obeyed. Man, just to hear him tell the story gives me goosebumps. But moved him off his knees, and he called Jen and said, Jen, I don't know what this means. He said, but God is telling me to tell you not to do it.
Wow.
And so I come home from flying, you know, everything's great. We're going to start the medication. And she's like, I got this call from Brian, and God was telling him to call us to say not to do it. Mm. And so we look at each other like, well, let's pray about it. So we prayed and we're like, I guess we're not going back to do in vitro. This is God shutting the door. Kind of our plan was our plan. Again, you notice the issue with that phrase.
Like, let's pray for our baby. Yes. Yeah. And then we'll
our
still
plan,
go.
Yes.
Yeah, was, hey, let's go back to this in vitro real quick. And then we will go to China. So that was our plan. But God is here shutting the door saying, nope, you need to go to China to get Maya.
Yes.
Okay.
And so that immediately we're like, okay. So didn't we started.
We started paperwork.
Yeah,
we
February didn't start of 05. Wow. Yeah, wow. February of 05, we started the paperwork going forward to get Maya. And then March of 06, we got Maya.
Wow.
And what was really funny in the adoption process, they said, if you are to get pregnant, we will pause your adoption wherever you are in this status. Yeah. And we said, oh, crud, we don't want to get pregnant. We've never said those words in our lives. That's what we wanted to do. Yeah. And then it was like such a God thing that completely 180 changed my heart. Yeah. Yes, I will adopt. That's sweet. But it was not my plan A hours.
Right.
And he changed that. So now we're sitting here saying, please don't get pregnant.
Yes.
Because we want to go get our baby girl.
Yes. So I remember you saying this in the YouTube video that when you got there and you're holding Maya, that you just said, like,
oh, awesome.
You just looked at Kevin and were like, I mean, this is it.
This is it.
Yeah. She's ours. And
yes. So I was just holding her one of the days we were there, and that feeling of, I just want to be a mom. And back before getting her, it was of my own baby.
Yes.
I was here holding this baby who is now my own. And that feeling of, we're finally parents. And I looked at him and I said, I don't care if I ever get pregnant.
Wow.
We will keep adopting. This is the most, like, my heart was about to burst.
Wow.
And that is only the Lord. It was the most beautiful feeling.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yes. So beautiful. Yes.
Okay, so you get Maya home.
Yep.
And then where do we pick up the journey? Because there's not nine eggs that are still frozen.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So she's about one. We get home from China. She turns one.
Yeah. We moved to Texas.
Moved to Texas.
Good old military life.
Yes.
Right. Moved to Texas. And then we started. We're like, okay, we've got embryos.
We've got a lot of embryos. And we were 30 something.
Yeah.
30
something. Well, yeah.
33-ish, I think. Yeah.
That sounds old now.
Oh, my word. Biological. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so
we're like, okay, we got to go use these embryos. We had told God, whatever you bless us with as far as embryo numbers wise, we're going to use it, right? So we went back in January 06 to 07, and we put
two more in.
Now, just also for people that maybe don't know, like, that's a big process, correct? Like, you're doing shots. Like, you have to do a lot to prep your body.
And be on a calendar that matches theirs, and they tell you when to start the shot. And, it is.
Big lead up.
Yes, a lot of,
Yeah.
Yep. But we just thought, well, this is our path, so we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And we were ready.
So we went back, pulled a straw out of three embryos. Mm-hmm. Yep. One did not survive the thawing process. Okay. Put two in. One did not take. Pregnant with one, and that's Eli. how we got to baby
so
Eli.
Eli is now 18. He was frozen for 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He came out with a red spot and they said, oh, we had to use forceps. So there's just a little nick on his head. And it turned out full blown big hemangioma on his head as he grew.
Oh, yes.
And one of our friends said, that's freezer burn. He was in there for 2 years.
Is that true?
But it was cute. It is, anyway, it's just part of
freezer burn.
Yes, yes. So okay, then, yeah, Eli's born and yeah, we have.
So now you have two.
We have two.
A boy and a girl.
We are just
boy
and girl. Blown yep. away by
born
God's
September
grace.
September in 07. Yep. Next summer, June of 08, we're at Disney World. Her mom had always had a dream of she wants to take the whole family okay. to Disney World. That was her dream.
We now have kids. So, yeah,
so we yeah. all go, family and all. And at some point on the trip, Jen's like, my body's not acting right.
Hmm.
Something's going on. We'll figure it out when we get home. And then it was bugging her so much. She's like, I want to take a pregnancy test. And she's not telling me this. Wow. Like, she had not told me this at all.
But I wanted to do it to rule it out. I knew yeah. we don't get pregnant.
Yes.
We adopt or we do in vitro.
So there must be something
Something's
else
wrong. Right. I'm going to get the first yep. box checked. It's not pregnancy.
Yep. So we're driving in a car. Father-in-law sitting here, a little awkward. Because Jennifer's behind me with baby Eli uh-huh. and Maya. And I get this tap on the shoulder and I... Ooh, I pull it down a little bit and it's a pregnancy mm-hmm. test. And I look at it and it's positive.
Wow.
And I'm like, wait, whose is this? Because this is it's not ours.
Did you find this on the floor?
Right, yeah. Did you pick this up? We just gone to a Walmart.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, is this someone? What is this?
Wow.
And I kind of look back at her and I'm, yeah, wow.
So you got pregnant then
yeah.
naturally, so yes. to speak.
And yep. in vitro Eli, which is not how I refer to him, but just to keep this going.
For the story. Yeah.
He was 7 months old.
Wow.
And oh here we are pregnant gosh. Again. Yeah. So we went from the couple who could never get pregnant. People had to whisper around and, oh, don't, you know.
Yeah.
Now we're the couple that weren't even trying and we got pregnant.
Wow. So,
I mean, we had the whole range. It was amazing.
Now, yeah. do doctors have anything to say to that? Because I feel like we have a few friends that that's been their
same story.
Yeah. Hard time getting pregnant, do in vitro, have one, and then naturally, like you within know, a year,
yes,
get pregnant.
Yes, yes.
You know, we had a conversation with a doctor when, well, later on the story, not to ruin it right now, later on the story, we had the conversation with our in vitro doctor, and his theory, and what a lot of people suggest is when you have an in vitro baby, that relieves the pressure or stress that you self-impose on, like,
yes,
you have got to get
right.
pregnant. So you're just much more relaxed, and then your body acts natural. I know that's what...
That could be a scientific thing.
Yeah.
I'm
right,
sure it.
Right.
There's something to mm-hmm, it that we yeah. know that ours is just all God's.
Yeah.
Story,
yeah.
So.
Right. Well, of course.
But,
yeah.
Right. But also, Disney World is where dreams come true.
Because it's
right.
the Magic Kingdom.
Yes.
Magic
we
happens.
Said it is a magical place. Yeah. We're pregnant. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So
now you guys are flying high.
Wow, because yeah. life was fun.
Yeah,
right.
Yes,
we like, had our three. Our plan of the three.
Yeah,
of the three
good.
Kids. We're done. You know, we've got Maya, Eli, Ethan, born in January of 09, 17 today.
There yes, you go.
It's amazing.
Happy birthday!
Yes.
Yeah, happy
yes,
birthday, you Ethan. You better be listening to this. but
so yeah, life's good.
Yeah, so life's good.
Fun.
We're happy.
Yes.
Okay, so now there's six,
yep.
six
embryos
yes.
still
right.
frozen.
Yes.
Right.
You've got your three kids.
Yep.
Now, to backtrack briefly, in your YouTube video, you said in the years of longing for a child and never having, that you made a statement like, we'll have as many.
Yes.
Remind us of
okay.
what that was.
That was in California when we were going for the very initial in vitro workup. And again, we were kind of ignorant, but we could only see babies.
Mm-hmm.
Just tunnel vision baby. So we were like, well, I think we had known the numbers at that point. Like, wow, we yeah. were able in the lab, they were able to do, you know, make the 12 embryos or that's what was conceived. And we were like, oh my goodness, this is crazy, but we don't care.
We'll
take them
12.
All. Lord, yeah. if 12 survive this process, we know this is all you're doing. We'll take all 12. And we even saw a bus for sale on the drive to the
yeah.
clinic.
We're having that conversation. There's literally a school bus for sale.
Yellow
like,
school
well,
bus.
There's our vehicle.
We're like, that would
yeah,
be us
yeah.
one day because we're taking all these babies.
I think that's important as we go yes. along in the journey of the story of where you guys are today,
mm-hmm.
of just how when we're praying our prayers and longing for something and wondering, does God hear? Does God care? Is God going to provide?
Yes.
And so now here you are. You had prayed that earnest prayer, like, we'll take the 12. If we get
yes.
12, we'll buy
yes.
a bus and
yeah.
here we
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now you're living happy life with three.
Yeah.
Happy and tired life.
Happy and tired, for sure.
Together. Yes.
Yeah. So it's What are the difference in age between?
Maya is 2 years older than Eli. Eli and Ethan are 16 months.
16 months.
So it's, when Ethan was born in January, Maya was still three. So right then it was 3-1 and newborn.
Okay.
Yep.
So you were tired, but happy and full. Yes. And the thought in your mind came to be like.
That Kevin got to get vasectomy.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Snip, snap, snip, snap. Yes.
Why are we bringing this up? I don't even
want to talk about it. Because that's the fun of it too. Like, well, wait a minute. This couple should never have to go do it.
Right.
Yeah. He should never have that procedure. But but we've got to work on the embryos. We've got to save, build that into the timeline. Yeah. And now that we know we can get pregnant naturally, you better do something.
Fast forward. And then
we moved to Virginia. I know you don't like that.
This is uncomfortable for us. Kevin and I.
For you guys. So we moved to Virginia.
Yeah. And then in the moves, but we just kind of like, okay, we're good, God.
Well, because we had a newborn. Right. We moved to.
But I think that's where, and we talked about it later, we kind of moved to our selfish phase of we're good.
Three's good.
Ethan had turned three.
Yeah, we know that we had said we'd use as many as you give us, but we kind of put that on the back burner. Mm-hmm. God, we're good.
Mm-hmm. It was us now. It's back to what we want.
Yeah.
And so what is your thought about those eggs, the embryos that are frozen? Mm. What is your thought about those six at the time?
Well, we prayed through it when Ethan turned three because we thought it's time to start.
Yeah.
And then we were both like, I'm good. I'm tired. And these are three amazing people. Let's just stop. So we prayed about it. We had a lot of peace. Mm-hmm. Again, it was us at the forefront. God had provided what we wanted. Mm-hmm. And now we're kind of taking the reins again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, okay, we're good. We're just going to stop. We really did feel at peace. Like, mm-hmm. Lord, we'll just leave them frozen forever.
Right.
We'll meet him in the clouds on the way when you come your second time.
And we kind of thought we will not worry about them, but we'll deal with that later.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
but that does seem like that's a lot for a lot of people. It's like, okay, we have them if we need them, but now we don't need them. Yeah. So then it's kind of like, what do we do?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you just leave them frozen forever? Or yes. Are there
and
other
that
options?
Is a big dilemma. Yeah. And this is where one of the things why in vitro is such a hot topic.
Okay.
But I knew I did not want to adopt them to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get a set number, one exact number, but there's at least 1 million frozen embryos out there.
Wow.
In 2026.
Wow.
So I know it's a thing.
Okay.
But we knew, and we know couples that you can adopt embryos and get pregnant with them.
Yes.
So it's wonderful for couples that can get pregnant and they going to go this route. I didn't want that.
Okay.
It was me, and we have our babies, but nobody else can have our babies.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we, back then, I'm sure there wasn't a million, but we knew there is the ability for other people to use other embryos. Because my mom had said, why don't you give yours up and think about those desert times that you had? There are many people out there that would want to be pregnant.
I said, afford in vitro.
Yes, yes. Right. And I thought, I will never forget that feeling. I know what it's like, but there's plenty of other embryos out there.
Okay.
No one's touching
them. And do you think, Jen, for you, it was because God was like keeping something open in your heart that so you just, it was a selfish.
It was 1000% selfish. Cause I had always thought, what if we get a knock on the door one day from an 18-year-old kid that said, hey, I tracked you down. You're my biological mom and dad. I want to meet you. And why didn't you want me?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, it was a selfishness.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I could never face that.
Mm. Okay.
I guess pride. I didn't want to say selfish and somebody else is raising my baby. Yeah. I now know what it's like to have my three babies.
Yeah.
That love. No way. I don't want anybody else doing that to my kids. We're fine. We can handle more babies. We just didn't want to. So it was purely selfish.
Reason. Yeah.
So how many years transpire then from the time of you guys, is it Eli is three?
Ethan.
Ethan is three. Mm-hmm. You pray about it. You're feeling a peace for now, like no action on the eggs.
Don't worry about buying that bus.
No bus.
The bus was sold to someone else.
No more trips to Disney World.
No. Our Tahoe's fine.
So we go 10 years.
10 years.
10 years of a peace, but it's selfishly, right? I mean, that's kind of what we said.
However, I do have to say, and I don't say this a lot, there was a tiny black cloud always on my shoulder.
Hmm.
And not saying black as it was negative, like, oh no, I have babies waiting in the freezer. It was, I guess, more something in my heart was like, I don't like that there's life in there and we're choosing not to use them.
Not to do anything.
And I'm choosing because I don't want anybody else to have them, but they're there. Okay. You know, like I don't, I'm done. But I, it's just there. No one goes, we've got three babies. Yes. It's, we know what that's like. Yes. And yet we're still keeping them frozen. Yeah. There was a little
okay
thing in my conscience just saying.
Do you feel like there was like a, you know, when we're maybe operating sometimes more in the flesh than in the spirit, like did you, was there a check in your heart of like the Holy Spirit saying you are not allowing me to do something or to change your mind about something? And like you were like in the stop.
Resistance.
Yeah.
No, but I do think I never felt that spiritually. And maybe I was just too, I chose not to.
Okay. Yeah.
But now that I hear it, that was that little black, was the black cloud. I don't like to associate black and Holy Spirit.
Right.
That sounds like a negative thing, but it, I think that was, and it was there, and I would just, you know, oh, we've got diapers and babies in it.
Right.
But it would come back. It never left.
So for 10 years.
Yes. Yeah, so 10 years we have that piece until 2022. We get an email, text from Teresa.
And it's, it was more than 10 years because Ethan was 15.
Well, 2000, from when we said we need to go back.
I'm sorry.
Right? So 2012, okay, I'm sorry. So 12 to 22.
Yes.
So 10 years when we thought we got to do something. Mm. We're like, no.
And so, can I ask Kevin, in the meantime, by the way, is the clinic or whoever has these frozen, are they pressuring you one way or the other?
Not at all.
Are
they're making like, money.
Donate these? Okay.
Yeah. So they're making money because we pay a cryogenic fee every year.
Storage fee. Yeah.
So they're like, great, these people have... three straws.
Right. And they were never, rooms not an issue. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we're running out of storage space. Mm-mm. What are you guys going to do? No, they never approached us.
So they're just like, we're making money. Yep. This is great.
If they come back, great. If they don't, even better.
Got it.
So,
And then 2022, we get the urging from Teresa to Jen. Alabama had passed some legislation that
is 2024.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, it's okay.
Yeah.
I know, dates are hard.
We're 52. It's
okay. Wait, you're the one with pregnancy brain.
Yeah, wait a minute.
How could you correct your husband?
I know.
So the Alabama legislation
started stirring in Jen, like, okay, what's going on? Mm. And then there was Allie B. Stuckey put out one of her podcasts talking about it. And long story short, it got us to thinking because basically she was kind of coming from the standpoint of in vitro is bad.
Okay.
For some valid reasons. Yes. Like we agree with her on some of the reasoning. But it definitely made us.
Well, she had
and
said.
And then she even said specifically, if you are leaving embryo, if you're basically neglecting your embryos, leaving them frozen, you are living in sin. That was her words.
Ooh, and that did not hit me
so
well.
So she went through the roof on that, and I get home, and she's all, have you heard of Allie Beast? You know, it starts raining.
She doesn't know our story.
Yeah, and I'm like, wait a minute. But then Jen, so we, you know, I listened to her, I read what she had said, and Jen looked at me and was like, have we been living in sin? And I said, no. I said, the Bible says God is not a God of confusion. We have not once been confused over the past, you know, 10, 12 years, whatever it is at this point. We've had a peace.
Yes, he's allowed us to walk in peace.
Yep. So we're not living in sin, but it kind of, you know,
but
it brought, because people have asked, you know, even up prior to this point, I remember we sat down with that, the estate
friends.
Planning guy, remember?
Oh, yes.
We were talking about
him. For a trust.
So this, so the conversation's coming up more regular, which is not, you know what I mean? So it's already kind of in our mind, and then bam, this happens. And we're like, okay, God, you're starting to do something.
Hmm.
And then I think the next part somewhere here is the Easter service.
Yes. And you, but so we talked about that article and the legislation, which was wonderful. We've always believed that embryos are human life. So we loved it.
Yeah.
I just didn't like how I took what Allie had said. Like, you don't know my story.
Yeah.
We're not in sin.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Did something with the black cloud thing you're saying, like, did you all of a sudden feel like you were bursting forth with like, I need to look at something. There's something. No.
Mm-mm.
So you, did you, were you kind of like angry still?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
How dare you?
Yeah. How dare you do not know our story.
Okay.
And we'll put a link to that podcast in the show notes. Cause
yes.
I think it'd be good for people to hear that.
Yes. Yeah.
And I know what you're saying that some people, and you know, I think Allie Beth Stuckey's great, but you know, I think this is one of those, maybe this is for another podcast, but this is one of those where it's a little bit of a gray area.
Yes,
because you agreed with her that these embryos were
lives.
Yes.
Yep.
So you guys are on the same page. But then the question is it sin to keep them frozen or not? Like this is stuff that we don't have in the Bible.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. But God still used that podcast.
Yes, he did.
Yep.
Yes, he
Absolutely.
Did. And So I told him we'd talked about the article and the legislation, and it was kind of dropped. But in my heart, for a week, that's when it started.
Okay.
God's saying, God was stirring. I didn't hear anything clear, but I was like, this is, oh crud. I think we're back on the embryo page. And I say, oh crud, because now we're 51. I thought, oh boy, what are you doing? Because you do amazing things, but I don't know if you're calling, whatever. So I, for about a week, I was just like, what do you want, Lord? And then it hit me. We have our talk yet, the Saturday couch talk, where I even told you, hey, this has been going on in my... Okay, so for about a week, I had this like, oh, God's moving. And I set him down on a Saturday and I said, honey, ever since that article came out, I think God's doing something. And I thought, he's not a guy to just to blow up. But I thought, this is not going to land well because this is nuts. And I'm not even sure that God's asking us to carry more babies, but there's something about the babies happening. And so I told him, and he was just, I'll never forget how he was sitting on the couch. And he said, you know, if God wants us to use those embryos, maybe he's waited this long because we're older now, be more relaxed. You know, we're more mature. We can do this. And I thought, wait.
How old are you guys at this point of conversation?
50, 51, somewhere right there. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so that's not what I thought of. And so it was kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. We even thought, well, wait a minute. If he is asking us to do this,
right.
Do people at this age, can we?
Right.
So we were like, well, hang on, called the clinic real quick and said, you have our embryos. They've been there at this point 20 years. Do people at this age still? Oh, yeah. We take people till they're 54.
Wow.
We're like, okay, thanks. And hung up and we're like, is that same doctor still there? So we called back. Is Dr. Zering still there? You know, we used him, you know, yes, he is. And we can get you started. And we were like, okay, no, we'll get back in touch.
Okay. I have to interrupt here for a second, please. On something else that was amazing about your story, because you also mentioned going in for a mammogram.
Oh,
in sometime in these years, okay. In your late 40s.
Like, yes. Okay. Oh, probably 49. Yes.
Okay. So what did the tech say to you? So this is before, now you're having this.
Yeah. No thoughts of anything. Okay. We've got our kids and life is good. And so I went in for just the annual mammogram, and the technician said, when it was over, she said, I want you to come look at the screen. I want you to see what I'm seeing. And it's funny now looking back, I didn't even have
a good thing.
No. And I didn't even realize that until someone pointed it out. Usually if you hear those words, like,
no good.
But I went right over and she said, your breast tissue is that of a 20-year-old. And you're still going to be having periods for years.
Whoa.
Like,
wow.
What is,
at 49, I would be like, 49. What?
What did you just say?
Yeah. Well, and it was weird because I had never been told that before. Mm-hmm. And I get them every year. And I still did not go to embryos at all. I just thought, well, yay me. I guess.
This is what's amazing, though, that it's like how God prepares us for things. So there was a season of, we're good. We got three kids. We'll keep praying or paying for the storage of these embryos. Those are little lives. At some point, we'll think of something to do.
Yep.
A random mammogram technician is like, because you obviously haven't gone through menopause.
No.
Like, I went through menopause at 48, so I wouldn't have even been able to do what you're doing now. So the fact that your body hadn't done that, the fact that the tech is saying you're going to have periods for years was kind of like preparation for this wild,
wild
conviction that you're starting to feel about these.
Yes.
Little but lives.
Yet nothing added up to me yet because I was still dead set. Ready. We're not doing that with embryos, but wow.
Okay, so you have the talk with Kevin on the couch, kind of out of the blue. Kevin cancels the Viking River cruise. You guys call the doctor. You figure out you can still do this. Now, so at this point, you realize, okay, this is an option.
Yes.
What happens?
Yeah. Okay. So then we're like, well, because of his reaction that he didn't shoot it down, I thought, oh, maybe this is going to happen. And we just we had some tears and we were like, this is exciting, but this is crazy. But we still weren't sure. Mm-hmm. We just knew there was a stirring.
Yep.
And he, just like with the adoption, he was right on board. Like, if this is the Lord's doing, I'm in. So
did you go to the kids and say, this is kind of a, okay.
Not yet. No, not yet.
No, but the next week, I think just like, I shouldn't stereotype this way, but a man, you were probably just, okay, well, we had that talk. We'll see what God does. And you went on to work the next week. And it hit me like a ton of bricks, because this is what hit me. He is either asking us to go back for them, which, whoa, but he makes everything beautiful in his timing. So I thought, okay, there's that or, and this was the hard part, he is going to ask us to adopt them out.
Yeah.
And that was my absolute no. So I was crying a lot in the car. Yeah. I just remember being in the car crying a lot, thinking, Lord, I can't. But yeah, I knew he could, because I used to think I couldn't. Mm-hmm. Like an adopted baby wouldn't be my own. But he showed me, he turned my heart that it was. So I was wrestling with me more so. Like, God, if you asked me to do this, I can't with every fiber. You would have to make it as clear as you did for adoption and in vitro if you ask us to do this. But I don't want you to. And then it was the Friday, Good Friday service at our church. Yeah. And it was dark, you know, somber atmosphere. Humongous cross suspended on our stage. Great message. And then we took communion. And I thought, Lord, how can I sing the songs that I sing on Sunday and know that I, you know, the things I know about you from your word, from what you've already done in our lives? How can I take communion? How can I just say I'm a child of yours when I'm telling you no? I didn't think I had a no in my heart. I had no idea. However, a few weeks before I'd been reading the scripture of search my heart, O Lord. And I meant it. Yeah, sir. I think I'm good, but let me know if there is something. And I realized that night, I have a no in my heart. Yeah, I want to say I'm a sold out believer, but I have a no in my heart. And you've seen interviews of people saying, I told God, you can do whatever you want, but you can't do this. And I thought, that's me. Wow. That's not right. That's not obedient. That is not being loving towards this God. So I just had to surrender. I thought, there's nothing else I can do. I cannot say I fully love you and trust you if I do not surrender. So God, right here, right now, full surrender. If you ask us to adopt these embryos out, you will make a way in my heart. You will make this story beautiful. You know my heart doesn't want to, but more than me anymore, it's you. So do what you'll do. Took communion. Yeah. I swear I lost 20 pounds right there just in that service. I walked out just
lighter,
even though it was a, you know, Good Friday is a good day, but it's also, you know, so I just walked out the car. I said, Kevin, I just surrendered my no that I didn't realize I had. And let's go, whatever this means.
Okay, so I know you guys are dying to know what happens next, but we're going to end this particular episode on this piece. That's really the turning point, I think, for both of you, where you had a no in your heart and you were ready to say, God, whatever you're asking us to do, as scary and as unbelievable as it would be, we're in our 50s. God, remember, we're in our 50s. our youngest is a teenager. What are you doing here? But you guys were open to whatever God was going to ask. So you'll have to come back for our next episode to find out the rest of the story.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.